Hi, I'm Charlotte Ron from Taiwan, and I'm really into mental health and matcha.
That's Charlotte Ron from M23. This week, we're diving deep into Charlotte's story on Humans of Minerva. Welcome to Humans of Minerva, a podcast that captures the interesting stories of humans at Minerva. I'm your host, Julia, and today I'll be sitting down with Charlotte Ron, a business and social sciences major from M23. Hey, Charlotte.
Thank you for having me today.
Thanks for joining us today. So can you tell us about where are you in the world right now? I don't actually know.
So I am currently in New York City during this summer. So I just graduated Minerva and I'm using this time to figure out how to integrate my passion project into my work. And I'm still very into the nomadic lifestyle. So as of now, I'm in New York and I am still like thinking about where the next place I want to be is going to be.
Yeah, I just remember you being kind of everywhere. So and wasn't actually sure where you were. But how long are you going to be in New York for? Like, how long have you signed the lease for?
So I am currently staying at my sister's place while she's back home in Taiwan. So I'll be here until like mid-July.
Oh, nice.
And I'll probably be somewhere around East Coast for the rest of the year and somewhere in Asia for next year. But I still haven't planned it all out yet.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so still very, very nomadic. All right, well, let's dive into your past. What was it like growing up in Taiwan? Can you describe for us, you know, what was the love you grew up with? What was your household like?
Sure. So the city I grew up in is called Taichung. It's the second biggest one in Taiwan. And I live with my parents, one of my grandma. I have two younger sisters and we have a dog, a cat, and three mice. My parents are very...
Wait. You have three mice?
Yeah.
Like, as in actually, like, pet mice, uh-huh. Or there were just mice in your house?
No, pets. So my little sister really wanted rats. My parents said no. So she had an experiment where she, like, feed different mice to measure their weight change. And after the experiment, we couldn't give these mice back to the pet store, so we just had to keep them.
Wait, was this for like an actual science experiment for school?
Yeah.
Or was it just she was curious?
IB program, design your own science experiment thing. So yes.
Oh my God. You just kept the mice.
Yeah.
I guess they're like the happiest mice alive. I don't know of other mice that are pets, but okay, interesting. And the cat never wanted to eat the mice.
There's always a family drama with dog chasing the cat knocking down the mice cage, and everyone running around at 7 a.m. breakfast time.
Oh, gosh. Okay, enough about your pets, but can you tell us more about your parents and what it was like growing up?
So my parents are very different. One, my dad is more traditional and my mom is more unconventional. So I think it was really nice to have these different point of views, different perspectives on life. So it's not like, oh, like I only grew up with one point of view, even though there sometimes is like, you know, like how should we do things? And there's like debates, like arguments, but I just think it was very healthy to see a very different points of view and how that plays out into daily decision making.
That's really cool. And what do your parents do?
So my dad is a pediatrician and my mom doesn't work.
Yeah, I've always just been really interested in how Charlotte became Charlotte, because I feel like you're one of the most interesting people to talk to. And every time I talk to you, you always have really interesting perspectives and insights. So definitely want to know how you got that and what do you think has influenced your way of thinking? Is it through seeing your parents having different perspectives and, you know, realizing that people have different perspectives? Or what were some moments that really shaped how you think and why you think the way you do?
Well, such a big question. I think there's definitely both like something internal and something external. The internal one would be, I think I was a kid who thought a lot of things, like reflected a lot. But I also thought the external stuff affected me a lot. Like, my parents was one of the elements, and just like throughout time, different life experiences. And also, I think Minerva was a big part. And yeah, I think I'll be talking a lot about that during the podcast. But yeah, I generally like to reflect a lot. So when I see new things, and I just think what that means to me.
Well, where do you think that came from? Like, where do you think that reflectiveness came from initially? Because I don't know that many kids who are like, let me think about that. Let me reflect on that. Like, that's pretty mature of you to do if you're saying you did that from, like, a young age.
Yeah.
But just wondering, like, where did that even come from to begin with?
I don't think, like, anyone has trained me to be this way. Like, my mom would tell me as a kid, she liked me, but a lot of her friends didn't, because I would want to listen in to, like, adult conversation. So, like, you know, like, some moms being together and it's very hard, like, parenting's so hard on us. And I would, like, want to listen into those kind of conversations, and which I can understand why this is annoying for other parents who just wants to, you know, have a rant on how tiring people like me are. Yes.
That's funny. And are your sisters, your two younger sisters, are they also as, like, curious, as reflective as you are? Or do you think that you are different from your sisters?
We all are very different people, like, very, very different. So in Taiwan, we would walk to some stores and people would think we're cousins, not actual sisters. Mm. But I think one of the things that my mom did well was she let us be who we are naturally. So she didn't force us to be anyone else. Mm. So I think this is the me. This is the kind of me that I am originally. And so are my sisters, but we are very different.
So how would you characterize who you are compared to your sisters? If you were to name some characteristics of how you differ from your sisters. Mm.
So I think I'm more academically driven. I really like experiences. So, like, traveling, food. And I think I'm very excited about everything. And I generally have a lot of energy. I think it also has to do with I'm an extrovert. And my middle sister, she's a very, very calm person. She loves animals and she's really into the nature and now studies marine biology. And she's the best sibling you could ask for. She's okay with everything. But in terms of ambition, she's not the kind of person who needs to conquer the world or anything. And my little sister, she's a very, very, very creative person. She studies art in New York and she fits in. And she has a lot of New Yorker local friends, which I think is very impressive given that we all grew up in Taiwan this entire time. She just came in and fit in. I think her kind of, like, unique take on arts, people really do like.
Interesting. What's the age difference between you all?
We're all 1 year and 4 months apart.
Oh, wow. So very, very, very similar.
Yes.
Very similar in age.
Close in age, yeah.
Interesting. Cool. So I'm curious, what were you like as a student? So, you know, I know you as Minerva, as a Minervan student, we were then. But I feel like a lot of us who have gone to Minerva, you know, our personalities and who we were as students at Minerva looked very different from who we were as students back at home, wherever home was for us. So curious, what was it like growing up in Taiwan as a student? What were you like in elementary school and high school, all that?
Sure. So I can tell you that I was a much better student when I was in high school than Minerva. I don't think Minervans see me studying, but I actually studied a lot back in high school.
So I know. All I saw you doing was traveling. Just all I saw you doing was just flying everywhere. Like, traveling. I was like, oh, where in Charlotte go? Oh, she's in, like, France or something. Like, what is she? Like, how are you doing your capstone? Like, how are you working?
You know what? Like, I actually did a big part of my capstone while traveling. So back in elementary, so I had the worst grade possible, which is, like, the biggest nightmare of any Asian parent. So my dad was like, what's wrong with her? And we transferred to four different schools because my dad was like, okay, this is not working, that's not working. And then, like, the last school finally worked. It was bilingual, so I had a lot of classes in English as well. And I just start, well, there was more things going on, but I think at that point I had an epiphany or something and I started having much better grades. So good for academic life, but the downside of that was I had a really, really good friend. Like, it's my best friend. And we were best friends for 5 years, grade one, grade five, up until that point. And she's always really good with academic stuff. And I think there was just one time where I think I scored slightly higher than her during a midterm or something. But the family in the school is like very, let's say, like they had a lot of power. So they started spreading rumors that I cheated or things like that.
What?
Yeah. And teachers couldn't do anything. At that time, I didn't understand how messed up it is. I just remember our homeroom teacher would come to us after the bullying have happened and say, oh, are you okay? But he would never just stop the bullying. So now I understand that's bad. But at the time, I didn't know. And I just felt really hopeless. But this is a very important part of my entire life because that was when I started becoming very interested in psychology. So back then, didn't understand what mental health is. I just wanted to be supportive of other people during these kind of situations. And I think my entire middle school and high school academic life has been studying towards becoming a therapist, which I now am not, but it started that world for me. Yes, psychology, mental health world.
Wow. Very interesting. Yeah, I can imagine that being very, like, traumatic. You have this best friend who you've been with for 5 years, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, just because you scored higher on something, that's not very nice. Well, glad that led to an interest in psychology and you figuring out that that's something that you want to study. So then moving into high school, that bilingual school until high school, I'm guessing, and then...
So I graduated elementary and I went to an international kind of bilingual program. It's not the same one, but yes, still was international.
And now
thinking about studying abroad after high school at that time.
And then... how was your high school life? What were you like in high school?
Right. So I think middle school and high school was where I really took off on being a good student. Like, good student in terms of like grades. I don't think I was the kind of student who was in the classroom every single class, just because Taiwan, we have like super long hours of studying. And I realized that if I stayed the entire day, I would not have enough sleep and not be able to study and would in terms have bad impact, like bad grades and not actually learning as much stuff. But yeah, so in high school, I think one of the more interesting thing other than just studying is I failed my AP Human Geography exam for the first time. And it was, I took so many APs and this was the only one that I failed. But I was grade 10, so I still had another chance. I was like, okay, we need to do something about it. People say it's the easiest AP. You just need to know about the world a little bit and you'll get 5. And yet I failed. So something is wrong. And that was when I realized that I just lived in my own bubble for most of my life and that needed to change. So I started penpelling. I think my sister had mentioned it a while ago at the time. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I started writing email and then it got more and more intense. Me and my pen pals, we started exchanging physical letters, so snail mailing. And I think a big part of my last 2 years of high school was just writing a lot of letters and talking about what's happening in my life, like the most everyday thing. But it would be interesting for them and vice versa. They would tell me about some farm life or some Manhattan life and it would just be the craziest thing that I've ever heard. And yeah, so I started penpelling and it got me just super intrigued to learn more about the world in depth. So it's like, not the 5-day kind of family trips that my family did while I was growing up. It's more like I want to really, really know what these people are thinking about, how they live their life, stuff like that. So I second year, thankfully, I passed Human Geography AP. But I think the curiosity of learning more about the world stuck with me ever since.
Yeah, that's really cool that you're doing AP. First of all, I didn't even know that there was AP Human Geography. And also, you were doing that in grade 10?
Well, my school offered it as one of the electives. So I was like, I don't know what this is, but sure. And I was really bad at it for the first year.
Yeah, interesting. We didn't even have options to do AP classes until grade 11 and 12. So very interesting, but very cool that you then started to pen pal and just become more interested in different parts of the world, which is really cool. Is that kind of what led you to wanting to study abroad and being more curious about the rest of the world?
For sure. I think that is actually one of the previews of Minerva. So I actually had at one point maybe around like 120-ish pen pals. And I just imagine...
Wait, you had 120 pen pal, like people or letters exchange?
People that I do letter exchange
with. Wait, you had 120 pen pals?
I was legit writing letters
every day. How much are you writing? Oh my God. Wait, okay. I found this thing online called Post Crossing. Actually, one of my friends told me about it. And so I started writing some postcards, but like after five of them, my hand gets tired and like I'm writing the same thing about my life, you know, five different times. I can't imagine, like, you're doing this for 120 people. How are you that much? And isn't the different things of your life or like just copy and pasting the same story?
So I think at one point I write 5-6 letters every day. And I mean, we also talk about their life too. So that part would be different for every letter. And then depending on how I'm feeling during the day, if it's the same day, then I maybe write about similar stuff. But the stuff I'll write in the morning and at night would be different. But if it's earlier, then probably similar stuff. But it's very dynamic. I had a habit of journaling and then I just feel like I wrote about the same thing over and over again. And then when I start pen-paling, it's a way of journaling, but I'm writing about different things because different stimulations.
Interesting.
It's a co-journaling.
Very interesting. And I don't know how you found the time to do that. Props to you for doing that. That's pretty impressive. Do you still pen-pal now?
No, I think after Minerva, I did not have time. Like I was thinking about they can still send letters to my home. And I was just like, no, I actually don't have the bandwidth. The summer prep at Minerva, even pre-Minerva, was a lot.
Yeah. Wait, so did you just like tell them, oh, hey, I'm going to university now. So gonna stop?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of cool. Like in my last letter that I sent out, I exchanged my pen pal Instagram account. It's like, I don't know, like less than 100 followers. And I follow like them back. And then so I was connected to them on Instagram. And throughout the Minerva journey, I actually met up with quite a few of them in real life.
Well,
yeah. So that
was very fun.
That
is so cool.
Uh-huh.
Very cool. Okay, so let's talk about Minerva. So how did you find out about Minerva and decide that's something that you wanted to do?
So I think my mom actually found out about Minerva. And I think she went to a talk and some very famous guy in education talked about Minerva. It was very new back then. And my mom was like, wow, this school sounds pretty weird. My daughter's pretty weird. Maybe there's a match there. So she told me about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I'm looking for, right? The international body of students, like my pen pal, but virtual, but in person version of my pen paling community. And the whole education being very not passive and just receiving, but more on me too. Like, well, this turned out differently because I wasn't studying as much. So the diversity and just traveling in general, because I already am into learning about different cultures and I really love eating. So it's like an opportunity to do all of that. So I didn't think I would get in, but I was like, if I didn't shoot my shot, then I'm gonna regret for not doing it and think about the what ifs. So I just have to apply.
So what if you didn't go to Minerva? Where would you be now? Or where would you have gone?
So my dad really wanted me to go to UC Berkeley. Like I wanted to study psychology and I got into UC Berkeley, which at the time was number two. So it was a no-brainer. Or maybe I'll go study medicine and be a psychiatrist, maybe.
Cool, cool. So you just graduated. what has Minerva meant to you and how was it significant? What were some of your takeaways?
I think this journey was just super special. I think it means different things to different people. And for me, it's really every time I go to a new place, I see different people living that life in different ways, having different views, different values. And I see that and I compare it to the ones I originally have, like my views, my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do this comparison, I ask, oh, is this what I really want? Do I want the one that I see or the one that I am doing right now? And if I really like the one that I see, then I can adopt some from the culture, the environment, and make it my own. So it's like 4 years of continuous iterations, like different styles and different living patterns and values. And I think it really helped me understand what are my worldview in a speed, because it's every 4 months you see one new thing. And I also took a gap year in between. So it was super, super expedited of that.
And what did you do during your gap year again?
I think I mainly focused on traveling. And then I was also going through a life coach certification program. It was lots of that. Traveling through Europe, mostly Eastern Europe, so the Balkans. And yeah, it just was more of the Minerva.
That's pretty cool. So are you a certified life coach now?
I'm still working on the hours though. There's a big course that you need to take and an exam and training hours. So I've gone through the whole course and the exam I pass and just the hours I need to fill in before I can be certified.
That is very cool. So throughout your whole journey, you know, you've gone through a lot. What have you learned or what advice would you give to your younger self?
I think this comes from a culture that is very afraid of kids making mistakes and wanting them to make the best choice all the time. I think one of the things that really helped me is we shouldn't be too afraid to make mistakes. And a lot of people are like, oh, what if I regret? And I think regret is kind of this retrospectively constructed idea. Like you cannot regret at the moment. You can only regret afterwards, which means you can also choose to not regret. And I think all we can do is we make informed decisions, like take smart risks. And if things don't turn out to be the way that we want it to be, then we can learn from it. It's not like moving on from this, but we move forward with it. We take what we learn and we go to the next stages of our life. So never need to be afraid of having regrets, because you can, if you can choose to regret, you can also choose not to regret and learn.
Very interesting perspective. This is why I like talking to you. That's very true, though. I guess regret is something that you can't feel in the moment. It's always something that happens after. You regret something. So interesting. That's going to make me think for the next while. All right. So we talked about your past, and now I want to Zoom to now. What has been on your mind lately?
So I think recently I've gone also very into exploring the inner world. I think it's very complex and also very magical. And even though
what is inner world? What does inner world mean?
So what I think about inner world is our relationship with self. So all the physical health, mental health, spirituality, those kind of domains. So it seems unrelated to the outside external world, but it's actually linked. And I would like to say the outside world is usually a reflection of our inner world, whether we understand or notice it or not. So I think it's just helpful to learn more about the inner world. And so our entire space would become better.
How do you learn about the inner world? What are you doing to learn more about, I guess, yourself and your mental health? What does that actually mean? What it looks like on a day-to-day basis?
I realized what I just said was very, very vague. I think this is a good time to bring in my capstone so I can have some context. So for my capstone. And this capstone started actually as a side project of mine. And I just really liked it and spent so much time on it to a point where it just makes sense that I made it my capstone as well, since I'm spending this much time. So my capstone is, well, part of the side project that I was doing, but we published a book called The Arts of Self-Care. And this book features around 20 young women's health story. And our idea is we want to highlight how all the physical health activity, mental health activity, spiritual activity also relates to the social element, but how everything that I just talked about is under the umbrella of health. So it's not as separate as we think it is, and they often affect each other. So of course, my academic part of the capstone is on the research paper that goes into details on the thing that I just mentioned, but the deliverable, the book that we published, it has the more practical element of how people are doing it already. Not how you could do it, but how people are already doing it, and you could take inspiration from those.
And is it an actual published book that someone could search up or
live? Yeah, it is. Ooh, it is live now on Amazon. I can provide you the link
send
afterwards.
We'll put it into the description.
We recently updated the version. So the book also includes a section where people can do some sort of a workbook and actually doing, practicing the things and journaling about how they're taking care of their health. I think that would make everything less abstract. So it's actual things that you can do.
Very cool. So when you say you're exploring the inner world now, what does that mean in terms of your day-to-day right now? Like, what are you doing in New York right now?
So one of the things that was very interesting is I think I'm a strong believer of manifestation, which is just a more pseudoscience-y way of saying law of attraction. Maybe law of attraction is pseudoscience-y too. But basically, I think one of the most interesting thing that happened during the past half a year was while I was working on my mental health project and being super into delving deeper and deeper into this, I met a now boyfriend, and he's also into the same things. And now I think one of our main priority is just to work our health, all physical, mental, spiritual health. And I think usually that translates into a healthier relationship. So it's like a win-win situation, like win-win-win situation. And so we try to meditate together and not just meditate because we can be more productive or something. It's like we want to meditate and create a space around us, and we want to take that mindfulness into the rest of the day. So whatever activity we do after the meditation, whether that's going out for a walk, running some errands, or working on some projects, our work, we really want to incorporate this into our lives. And it is a challenge sometimes with all the things that's going on, but I think it's a direction that we really want to head towards.
Aw, that sounds like a very healthy relationship, working on your health together. That's awesome. And what's a project that you're working on right now that you're looking forward to for the future?
So I think my capstone did not include a lot of the marketing stuff that I really like in terms of promoting the book. So I think the super immediate next steps would to like promote the book, because if we just create the book and no one knows about it, then it's like not creating the book. So I think I just really want to let more people know about this book and benefit from this book. And I think another thing that I want to do long term is still relating to the mindset and manifestation thing. I think a lot of the times I just like run little experiments on myself and do like this experiment for 2 weeks or a month, and let's just like think a certain way or act a certain way, and let's observe like what changes. And usually the change is very drastic, and I'm like, if this thing, like your brain or your consciousness, is so powerful, then shouldn't everyone take advantage of this and be even more of a person who they want to be, do the things that they want to do, even better in a way that is happier and healthier sort of thing. So I think in the long term, I really want to talk more about it, whether that means having my own course or just start talking about it on social media or something like that.
That's really cool. I love the notion of self-experimentation and just figuring out what works for you and how to get to where you want to be. I think that really resonates with my thought of who you are too, because definitely see you as someone who's very insightful, and you get those insights through experimenting and, you know, being willing to try new things, which is pretty cool. All right. Are you ready for our fast fire round of questions?
Yes. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. What's something you miss?
That's going to be Taiwanese breakfast.
Ooh, what is a Taiwanese breakfast?
So it's a scallion pancake rolled with egg and whatever choice of your protein. Or some noodle stuff or some rice ball stuff. It's very random and sort of like it.
That sounds good though. Okay, what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for having the people I care in my life. Grateful for my health and well-being, which enables me to do all the things I love, like traveling, dancing, eating good food.
Nice. What do you crave more of?
Oh, ceremonial matcha latte. Always.
Ooh, that does sound really good. Do you believe in soulmate?
I think I believe more like soul ties. So it's like a concept that is in Mandarin called 缘分. It's like half effort and half destiny. So it's not only destiny or only effort, but you kind of co-create that.
Oh, I like that. And what is your word of the day?
Cats.
Cats. Love that. Cool. All right, let's wrap this episode. Charlotte, what's the best way for our audience to reach you if they want to connect or have follow-up questions?
One would be my personal Instagram. It's at charlotte.hh.juan, or my mental health project Intertwined Life's Instagram is at intertwined.life.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, Charlotte. It was such a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and automatically get notified about new episodes on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at humansandminerva.podcast for all the latest updates and announcements. And finally, special thanks to our editor, Ang Lilian, for working her magic on this episode. Thanks for listening to Humans of Minerva.